So we're going to start at Mark chapter 16. I'm going to splash the scriptures on the screen today, make it a little more simple. But please know where it is in the Bible. You could turn to Mark 16. Please stand with me if you're able to. We're going to start reading from verse 1 and on. Mark chapter 16 from verse 1. Again, you can read it in the Bible. You can read it on the display. It says here, Mark 16, verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Verse 7, "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful account in your holy word of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who came in triumphantly, we call the Palm Sunday day, the triumphal entry, declared as King, as Savior, as Messiah. And then later on, just days later, the crowd shouted out, "Crucify him." And Lord, we thank you that during this time on our calendar, we can celebrate this. We can remember how you died on the cross for our sins. You were buried according to the scriptures. You rose from the dead according to the scriptures. And even as you prophesied, you told the people around you, you told your disciples that you would be betrayed, you would be crucified, you would resurrect. But nobody believed you, it seems. But Lord, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit upon our hearts. We ask that you would open up our understanding today. Lord, we ask that you would use your word, anointed by your Spirit, that we could understand your word a little more today. Help us to be believers in the resurrection. Help us to be preachers of the resurrection. And Lord, we ask, last but not least, that you would comfort our hearts. Comfort the hearts that are here, Father. Prove yet again that you are the Father of mercies, oh Lord, and the God of all comfort. We ask for your comfort upon each and every one of us here. Encourage and minister to our hearts, for we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Please have a seat if you would. I'm going to read to you a quote from a gentleman by the name of Lee Strobel. Anybody read that book, The Case for Christ? May have heard of that. "I went to a psychologist friend and said if 500 people claimed to see Jesus after he died, it was just a hallucination. He said, hallucinations are an individual event. If 500 people have the same hallucination, that's a bigger miracle than the resurrection." Again, Lee Strobel, author of The Case for Christ. So in this story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it wasn't a hallucination. Imagine that. 500 people saw Jesus at one time. Can all 500 have the same hallucination? No. That'd be a little weird, right? And that's actually recorded in Scripture. So he resurrected early that Sunday morning. They saw Jesus. They talked with him. Some of them touched him. One of the Marys was like holding on to him. He's like, let go of me. It's interesting because those things are actually recorded in Scripture. Another one, he appears to his disciples behind closed locked doors. They're like, whoa. And then as if also proving he didn't just resurrect, but he was also visibly there, physically okay. Hey, do you have any food? He actually ate in front of them. So there wasn't a resuscitation where he just passed out. It was a resurrection. He was actually bodily there. He was physically okay. He was there and aware. So they touched Jesus. They talked with him. And now he's appearing to someone we call Mary Magdalene. Now think about that for a moment. Mary Magdalene. We just read that she was demon-possessed. How many demons does she have?
Seven.
Crazy woman. Right? Think about that. Come on, this is New York City. Some of us know a lot of crazy people. Anybody know crazy people? Okay, some of us in your family, you're the crazy person. Especially for Christ, right? So think about this. This was a challenge. The first person he reveals himself to after his resurrection was someone that was known as a crazy woman. But he appears to her. That's a challenge. So at one time she was demon-possessed with, again, how many demons?
Seven
demons. Think about that. Not just one, not just two, seven. They had like some kind of party going on in there. Think about how crazy that was. So now the Lord has healed her, restored her, and he wants her to be someone to share about the resurrection. A crazy woman telling good news. So I want you to think about that because she becomes kind of a picture, an illustration, a metaphor of you and me. Someone that even in your family, they may think that you're a little crazy sharing good news. Is that any of you? That's certainly me. That's pretty much all of us, right? So sometimes people have a hard time hearing good news from someone they think is crazy. You wouldn't be the first. So people still think you and I are crazy to believe in this resurrected, this risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's like, wait, tell me again, he's your king, but he dies for you? No, no king does that. I know Biden, he'll push a button and maybe send a bomb. Even Putin, he's not going to go. He's not going to fight. He'll send somebody else in to die. And he'll commemorate, they'll, you know, fold the flag ceremony, give it to the parents. But he's not going to go. So we have a king that will die for us. But when the Jesus that you and I know from the Bible resurrects your old dead life, you see, you become like Mary Magdalene, don't you? That's me. I don't know about you. Anybody here identify with that? You're someone who maybe you weren't possessed with seven demons. Maybe you were. I don't know. But he resurrects your old dead life. Now he comes to live within you, a Holy Spirit, not unholy spirits, and he starts doing a renovation from within. You know, we don't have time to go around the room. My background was not seven demons possessing me, but I just had all kinds of junk. And who else is that way? That was me. That's pretty much how it is for all of us, right? So Jesus comes to now have residence within us. He resurrects your old dead life. Again, I like the thought of like the caterpillar now turned to the butterfly. And what you and I must do, just like Mary Magdalene and the other disciples, we must share and shout this out with the world. Amen? You and I must do this. So as you and I gather here today on the first day of the week to celebrate what we call the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, notice as he resurrects, he also gives them something to do. Just like how he resurrects your life, and he's going to give you something to do. Look at this in verse 15 as you go on. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. The emphasis is on belief here. So you and I, we today, we want to share a little bit about the resurrection, but I also want to touch upon why you and I must be a resurrection believer. Be a believer in the resurrection. Because we're going to see this in the scriptures here, where a once crazy person starts sharing good news, And just like those crazy people, I thought they were crazy sharing good news with me. Like, get out of my face is what I tell them externally, verbally. But inside, I was broken. I was hurt. Is that anybody else? That was me. I would actually get in people's faces and say, shut up. Get away from me. It's like the old saying, I think I heard this from Greg Laurie. When you get a pack of dogs and you throw a rock, the one that screamed, arr! What do you know about that dog? That's the one that got hit, right? And so as you share the good news, sometimes, yes, they may think you're crazy, but sometimes the one that are the most offended, Lord, that's the one that the Holy Spirit hit. So you and I must be a believer in the resurrection. The resurrection is part of the gospel. Notice he says here, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What does gospel mean? It means good news. And we touched upon this a little earlier. Good news is not good news unless you know a little about bad news. So good news is good because we know a little bit about bad news. So before we go on, this Jesus wants us to know, yes, about the story of his resurrection. He wants us to share good news, but what's the bad news to therefore mean that there's a good news? Hopefully you could read that and see that. Are you able to see that? Hopefully the contrast is good enough for you here. So here's the bad news. Every person has sinned. You'll find that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if a person sins, we're not paid for by Jesus, then after their death, that person will be tormented in hell. You'll find that in Luke chapter 16, verse 23. Also, going on from there, part of the bad news is on Judgment Day, yes, there is a Judgment Day, it's not just the name of a movie, they got that from the Bible. On Judgment Day, they'll have a second death. It's bad enough to die once, but many people are going to die twice. There's going to be a second death in the lake of fire. They're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. You could read about that in Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. So that's bad news. Anybody think that's bad news? You're probably sitting there thinking, great, I came in the church today to hear about the resurrection. I want to hear about good news. But wait, there's more. So think about it. Bad news helps set you up for the good news, the gospel. Gospel means good news. So we must know that there's bad news. So wait a second, Drew. You're telling me that every person has sinned. I'm not telling you that. God's telling you that. You can read about that in Romans chapter 3. And if that person dies and their sins were not paid for by Jesus, who is Yeshua, he's Messiah, he's King, Savior, Lord. If their sins weren't paid for by Jesus because they didn't believe and receive him, but they deny and reject him, they're going to die and be tormented. That's bad news. But okay, but I'm a good person. So we're going to do the good person test. Can we do that today? Yes, we will. So I'm going to just go over some of the Ten Commandments. First off, be careful how you answer. Has anybody here ever lied before? Okay, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Look around the room. Moms raising their daughter's hands. You know, your parents know everything, right? My mom knew when I was lying. She had a lot of grace. She'd look at me, okay. And then I get punished later on. It's like, they know, right? You know. So our Heavenly Father knows. So if you ever lied before, then you've broken God's law. No, okay, what a little white lie. Is that still a lie? Yes. Parents, you know that, right? It ain't nothing but a big lie, right? You lie through your teeth is what we might tell our kids. Okay, so if you've broken God's law and you've lied before, what do you call someone that's lied before?
A liar.
A liar. Okay. Let's go over another. These are just some of the Ten Commandments. You'll find this in Exodus chapter 20. Have you ever stolen anything? Doesn't matter the amount. Ooh, a little personal here. So if you've ever stolen anything, it could be a paperclip. It could be whatever, jumping the turnstile at MTA, right? It could be when you're a little kid, I stole that little Barbie doll or something. I didn't know. Oh my, there's confession. Oh, Okay. Anybody needs a doorstop, they're for sale. Oh, my. Oh, that's so cute. Okay. Yes, that's good. So if someone has stolen before, it's regardless of the size or the amount, then you've broken God's law. So what do you call someone that's stolen something before?
A thief.
A thief. Okay. So we're liars, we're thieves. Ooh. This is getting good. This is just the good test. Have you ever hated anyone? Like the first hand goes up like, right, you didn't even 0.001 seconds thought. Well, I don't hate anybody. Look at that dress. Look at her heels. So the reality is, according to how Jesus interprets this, you'll find this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, it's not so much that we would externally murder someone. If I've called someone, he says, raka. Raka means empty-headed. Today, you know what you would call that? Saying stupid, dummy, whatever, right? And that's all of us. Well, I didn't say it. Well, you thought it in your heart. So now you've murdered in your heart. So, wow, give me a break, Jesus. And all of us are murderers at heart. So has anybody ever hated anyone? Remember, we asked you if you lied before. Okay, so if you've ever hated anybody, you've murdered them in your heart. You've broken God's law. So what do you call someone that has murdered? A murderer? Wait a second. All of us are guilty of this, though. That's the purpose of the law. Not to make us all holy, pure, perfect, righteous. It sets Jesus apart from us. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We'll just look at one more. Just a good test. So have you ever coveted anything someone else has? Ladies, how about you say, oh, that Gucci bag. Ooh, that would look good. It's like stealing. Well, the coveting comes first and then the stealing. Coveting, like wanting. It could be a car. It's actually ingrained within our culture. You'll find this in marketing and advertising.
What's it?
Lusting after something could be. So the core of what this is, it's called idolatry. So desiring something, it could be a car, it could be a house, it could be a spouse, it could be, those are actually literally what the law says. That's the 10th commandment. So anybody done that? Okay, so we're all idolaters at heart. Wait a second, we're liars, thieves, murderers, idolaters at heart. So it's just a good test. So is anybody good here? No, there's only one good, Jesus Christ. Okay, and he makes you good. He makes us better. So think about this too. If you could honestly say yes to one or even all of those, then we're all liars, thieves, murderers, and idolaters. Every single one of us. So that's only four of the Ten Commandments, and there's 613 laws. We've only looked at four of them. And it's game over from birth. Why? Because we're born sinners. Jesus came. This is part of the good news. He came, died on a cross for your sins and mine. He was birthed in this earth perfect, so he was born without sin. Our problem, our fault, is we're born sinners in a fallen world. And he went to a cross to die for us. But this bad news, if you've broken God's laws, are you going to be innocent or guilty on Judgment Day?
Guilty.
Who here will be innocent on Judgment Day? With Jesus. But we're not going to have Judgment Day with Jesus. He was judged for us. Our sins were judged upon him. So if you've broken God's laws, you would be guilty. You'd be in danger of eternal damnation on Judgment Day. That's the bad news. So when you know that there's bad news, that every single person has broken God's laws. Again, we only looked at four of the Ten Commandments. We don't have time to go through all 613. Like, who's got time to go through all 613? Because we'd be guilty on all counts, right? And if you break one law, you're guilty of it all, according to Scripture. So here's now the good news. This is gospel, the good news. Jesus Christ paid for your sins so you don't have to. We got to know the bad news to then know, there's relief, there's good news. He died on the cross as a savior for your sins. So we all admit that we're sinners. And he died on the cross as a savior for our sins. So what do? We need to repent, turn away from those sins. Change of heart leads to a change of mind and change of course and action. And then what's going to happen? Jesus is going to give you a new life so that you can follow him. That's basically it. So the good news is that Jesus Christ paid for your sins so that you don't have to. This is what we need to share with people. And we have to remind people that you are sinners. Don't just deal with it on the intellectual level. Bring it into the internal, the conscience, so to speak. Okay, I understand. I'm a sinner. Not because I'm a good person, I'm a bad person. It's because all of us would think we're good. But next to Jesus and perfection, we're all bad. Okay, we're all sinners. That's Romans chapter 3. All have sinned. So we need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died as your Savior on the cross for your sins. And we're looking at the resurrection, proof that the payment for your sins was accepted. It was accepted. It was accepted. Only through him, though. So we need to repent and turn away from our sins so that we can follow him. So as we look at and study about the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he mentions that we need to go and preach the gospel to all creation. But we need to know, what's the good news? And what's the bad news? Don't just tell people, hey, you need to pray and receive Jesus in your heart. That's not biblical. Unless you understand why. Okay, so, and I've read tracts, gospel tracts that actually will just tell people to pray to receive Jesus. But why do I need Jesus? Who is he and what did he do? Because there's just pray to receive Jesus, but I don't understand that I'm a sinner and Christ Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose from the grave. Oh, that's what I'm receiving. I'm receiving a who and a what. I'm receiving Jesus and what he did as my Savior. Not just receive him into my heart. That means nothing. So I need to understand. He died specifically. And proof of that is the resurrection. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to close here in a little bit. But in 1 Corinthians 15, notice what it says here in verse 1. If you're wondering, okay, what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, you can read it on display or read it in your Bible. But it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. I underline this. Which also you received and in which you stand. So the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus, needs to be preached to you. This good news or gospel needs to be received by you. And this good news, this gospel, is that in which you stand. You don't stand on your own with God. It must be through Jesus and what he's done. Verse 2 says, by which also you are saved. Do you know the gospel saves you? The good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. If you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. That, and noted it here in green, this is the gospel. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. It's part of the gospel. Can we say that? Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. And that, look at verse 4. Well, according to the scriptures, verse 4, and that he was buried. Can we say that? He was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Can we say he rose again? He rose again. So if you're wondering, what is the gospel? How do I share the gospel, preach the gospel? Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 3 and 4. These three things I outlined here are highlighted in green. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. That's the gospel message. So the resurrection is part of the gospel, and you and I need to know that. And then down to verse 12, again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he did not raise up if in fact the dead do not rise. So look at this in verse 14 where it says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. It was important that Jesus would raise himself from the dead, even like the scriptures show that he prophesied. Because if he did not raise from the dead, then our preaching is empty. And our faith as born-again Christians would be empty also. But he did rise. He is risen. Amen? He did. So we must be believers in the resurrection. Verse 16, as we go on here. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. So look at this in verse 17. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, then, quote, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. The belief that, yes, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but also that he rose from the dead, that is a vital, essential ingredient to the gospel message. So if someone believes, oh, I believe he died on the cross, but I don't know if he rose from the grave, that person is not saved. Being a believer in the resurrection is important, is mandatory. So where is that? You'll find it again. I want you to know where it is. 1 Corinthians 15. Your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. So you must be a believer of the resurrection because, quote, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And this is the last one. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by one man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So again, the good news, like it says here, in Christ all shall be made alive. As we look at this thing that we call the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please understand, we must believe that. So what did Jesus do, this good news? He paid for your sins so that you wouldn't have to. He died on the cross as your Savior for your sins. And believing and receiving him and his work, you and I need to turn away. We need to repent from our sins. Don't just go, oh yeah, I believe that, and then go right back to that old lifestyle. He wants to give you a new life, a new beginning, a new hope. So he wants to give you this new life so that you can follow him. So we're going to close here. I'm going to keep this brief here for today. But as we do close, I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And I'm not sure where everybody's at. I really don't know. But I do want to say that, well, God knows that you're here today. And if anybody wants prayer to pray that you would receive Jesus as your Savior who died for your sins, that you would repent from those sins and turn to following him, then we want to pray for you, whether that's one or some of you. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. Then if anybody wants prayer for that, I'm going to ask you to simply come to the forward, to the front, and I can pray for you. And then we've got others too that can hand out some free things and pray for you further. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the good news of salvation through Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we must be believers in the resurrection. And Heavenly Father, we do ask that you please speak to our hearts. It's a work of faith. We have to believe. There's no YouTube videos around and things like that from 2,000 years ago that we can see. But it's a work of faith, Lord. And so we ask that you would please anoint our hearts, Lord. Anoint the reading of your scripture. Help us not just to hear this good news, but to receive it and to stand in this good news, even as we read. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much. You say in the word in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's you, Jesus. You're our Messiah, our Savior who died on the cross for our sins. You're given over to die, to be crucified for us. And that's the good news because we couldn't pay for our own sins. So God, you loved the world so much you gave your only begotten Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so, Father, help us. That sometimes we share with others. We're like Mary Magdalene. We're people that maybe others think we're crazy people, sharing good news. But we're crazy for you, Lord. And you've given us a new life. You've given us a new hope. You've given us a new beginning. And as we gather here today on a new week, starting on Sunday, the first day of the week, we ask, Lord, can you stir up our hearts? Help each of us to be preachers of the resurrection, to believe and receive, but also to preach, to share with others the good news of salvation so they can, when they die, they get to spend eternity with you. They won't have to burn in the fires of hell and on judgment day be thrown in the lake of fire. God, that's so sad because that's eternity. We're either going to spend eternity with you, paid for our sins by Jesus, or people will pay for their sins throughout eternity. So Lord, help us to know this, especially a day like today, Lord. Teach us to share this good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Please speak to us, God. Encourage and equip us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.